Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This
is After Sunday.
Welcome back to After Sunday. I'm here with Alex this week. We hope everyone's having a good day. How are you today, Alex?
I am wet. It is Same. A rainy, ugly Sunday.
Yes.
But good to be inside with our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday was so pretty, but today is disgusting. Yeah.
And yeah. I actually took some pictures of the landscaping that I had done at my house last year, and everything started to look green and pretty, and it's because of the rain.
Yeah.
On a day like this, you can't really get out and look at it.
Right. So. Today we started a new theme for the month, Revival of the Community, which I think feeds really well into, of course, this year-long theme that we've done so far. I know last month we had a really good outreach day. We did conversation, a cup of coffee, which members of Central served breakfast to some of the people in the community and just had conversation with them. So I feel like this ties in really well. But Craig talked about Jonah the majority of the lesson and how there needs to be, of course, you know, Jonah went through this process of not wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And of course, he had some challenges. So it kind of like leads into really needing to speak with the community and reach out to people, even if you're scared to or you don't think it's going to work. Like, obviously, God has a bigger picture for us. So that's kind of what we're going to get into today.
And I thought it was interesting. I thought we were getting more into the community aspect of it, but he made the point, you really don't have revival of a community until you have revival of the individual self.
Yes.
And I feel like that's where a lot of the Jonah story went. And the key quote that he had up there, or I'll attribute this to him until I'm told otherwise, but personal revival doesn't happen until the pain you are in outweighs the pain required to change. And I think that Jonah's a really interesting character to use for that quote, and that he didn't want to go.
Right.
Nineveh was a bad, ugly city, most populated in the world, I believe, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The largest city on earth, the most sinful city on earth, filled with terrible, horrible,
it's
no
not
good,
very
bad
enticing.
People,
right? Yeah.
So you don't blame him for not wanting to go.
Right.
But for him to hit rock bottom, for his pain to be equivalent needed for change, had to be, I need to be swallowed by a fish, which is pretty horrible.
Yeah.
So if that tells you anything about how evil Nineveh would have been at the time,
but I
think about how some people have to feel before they're ready to change, before they're ready for, you know, confession or repentance to change from one lifestyle to doing what they need to be doing.
Right. Yeah. Which, it's hard for me to grasp because I think I've said on here before that I grew up in the church. And so, like, my old life wasn't very much different from when I became baptized. But there are some people that they are walking from a totally different lifestyle, and it does take sacrifice and time to adjust to that. And, like, Craig started out the lesson that revival starts with a single person but indicates bringing something back to life. So I feel like once you do turn that page, like, you have a lot – you have a different perspective, you are challenged, and you want to do your best to have a different life. But there is some pain, there is some sacrifice in that process as well.
Absolutely. And he goes on to Luke 15, verses 18 through 20 there. It's the end of the story of the prodigal son. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that, if that's all right with you. I will arise. So this is at the very end. This is after the prodigal son has taken his early inheritance. He's gone off, he's gambled it away, he's partied it away, he's drank it away, and he's coming back. But his rock bottom was he was eating the slop that the pigs were fed.
Yeah.
And I don't have much experience around farm animals, but I can't imagine that's a very delicate dish. So his rock bottom, and he finally, you know, after saying, you know, I'd rather die of hunger than continue on this road, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. I think it says something. How would you feel if you had to go back to your dad and say, Dad, I'm sorry, I messed up?
That's tough.
That,
yeah.
And not only that, how's your siblings and how are the servants? And this is apparently a wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
How are all of these people going to view you? Mm-hmm. That takes some overcoming. That's an obstacle to have to get through to say, look, I was wrong. And that's something that's so hard for any of us to do, is to say,
yeah,
I messed up. I don't hear that a lot today.
Yeah, no. And that's a good point, because the first point in the sermon was like, be brutally honest. So like, obviously that was a really hard thing for the prodigal son to come to grasp with, but he had to be really honest to himself and to God. And of course, like you're saying, like his family and the servants of the home. And that's something we also have to kind of ask ourselves too. We talked about like self-reflection, but you know, just pay attention to the things going on in your life that you have to address and come up against.
Absolutely.
The second point was reconciling with God, which we kind of joked about, but like Jonah had 3 days and three nights in that big old fish to think about his life choices and what led him there. But hopefully we don't have to be swallowed by a fish to reconcile with God. But just like being able to address when things get messy, like when we don't obey God or follow his will, like things get difficult for Christians.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know what species this fish was. But
I thought about, what if it's like a goldfish? Like, what's this, a giant goldfish?
I don't think it's around today if it existed back then. But that's, again, having time to reflect. And that's something we've talked about earlier this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is taking time to reflect on where you are. And part of where I wanted to go with this, and stop me if I'm skipping ahead, but revival doesn't necessarily have to happen if you're Jonah in the whale,
mm-hmm,
or the big fish, or if you're the prodigal son eating pig's food.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can happen at any point in your life.
Yeah.
You could be at rock bottom. You could be living in sin and needing to do a whole 180 on your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing something wrong. I need to correct that and get on the right path. You could be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a Christian. You could technically be doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, right? I attend three times a week. I go to my small group. I go to coffee in the community or the paintball or the ladies' pottery day, whatever events we have going on. You
yeah.
can say, well, I'm involved. I'm checking the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of just being complacent.
Yeah.
You could go from a sense of complacency to, I need to get up and go do. This has to have meaning for me, and I need to make it a priority to put this into effect for the good of others. Cause that's
right.
Mark 16, 15, 16. We're taught to go into the world and preach the gospel, not just to be complacent and, well, I've checked my boxes for the week. Or
yeah.
you could have a lot of spiritual talents. You might be wonderful at speaking. You might be wonderful at fixing food for people. There's a lot of different aspects to running a congregation.
Oh, sure.
And being involved. It's
yeah.
not necessarily, I have the ability to go out and speak well to somebody.
Right.
But you could have talents that you're not using that you need to implement. So whatever stage you're in, you could always improve.
Mm-hmm.
And at risk of beating this point too soon, a lot of people have seen the Hamilton play, right?
Ugh, yes.
And there's the song that he's got, the writing like it's going out.
Running out of time,
mm-hmm. right? He had, if you read Hamilton's letters, there was always a sense of urgency. No matter what
yes.
he was doing, I've got to be doing more because mm-hmm. I don't have time to get all of the things I need to get done.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating that if we took that mentality, how many things could we get done?
Yeah.
If we said, look, we got to get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just not a sense of urgency in a lot of members of the Church of Christ.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because I think it's very easy to say, like, I just need to change when things are bad. But like you're saying, that doesn't have to be the case. And I think to have that passion and that drive to get up and go and just do more and serve more is super important. But like you're saying, like, it's just very not talked about in the church community. And not a lot of people think about it, unfortunately.
It seems like congregations kind of go one of two ways. You either beat into the ground, you know, personal Bible study and checking the boxes and making sure you're going to do those things, or you really have a community and service mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of the ones that are more service-minded that do that better wind up kind of drifting away from the truth. And I've always thought, why can't we do both?
Yeah.
Why can't we stay sound and at the same time have the right attitude of welcoming people and wanting to serve,
yeah,
you know, our fellow brothers and sisters.
Right, so, you can have both. You don't have to choose.
but it is hard because, yeah, I see so many that they kind of go one way or the other.
Right.
And I think here at Central, we can have both.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that kind of like leads us to our last point, like you're saying, just like get up and go. And that phrase was used 3 times in chapter 3, and that's just emphasizes the importance of God's mission for Jonah was like, you know, preach this message, help these people. And the message wasn't even long. And I think that's also a testament to what you were saying, is that you don't have to be a perfect speaker, or, you know, your prayers don't have to be, you know, super perfect or whatever. Just like do your best, and whatever ways you're able to serve is definitely appreciated. And sometimes we get in our own heads, which is totally understandable. Everyone goes through it. But, you know, if you do your best and you want to reach people, like, it is possible.
I do want to, just because it's timely, my wife and I watched a movie last night on Amazon called The Heretic.
Okay.
I'm not going to recommend movies on a show or anything like that, but it did, it's about these two women who are members of the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormons, and they're door knocking, and there's a little-known actor, Hugh Grant, is kind of the bad guy in the movie, if you will. I don't think I'm ruining anything for anybody, but they're door knocking. And I think we think of evangelism and getting out and going and doing is I have to be on my bicycle knocking doors.
Oh, yeah.
Or I have to go to Nicaragua or some third world country halfway around the world to be evangelizing. It could be your own family. You know, members of your, it's friends that you have. It's people that you come into contact with, just mentioning it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be aggressive, and it doesn't have to be a hard sales pitch. Just sheer mentioning. Mm-hmm. That's all we're called to do, is to point the way.
Right.
Right. You're not called to have a quota of people that you bring to Christ.
Right.
We're just called to point
the
way. We're
on commission.
So if it's your you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, if it's a family member, if it's that, you know, a long lost cousin or something, just mentioning it to him, saying, hey, well, why don't you join us sometime at Central?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, you know, like, it doesn't take much. Like, just, I think knowing that a lot of my friends know that on Sundays I'm usually not available. And so, like, eventually, hopefully, they'll come or I can invite them to things. But I think just little small things like you're saying, like, that goes a long way. And once you say it enough, probably going to think about it, and hopefully they do come with you.
And if you say it enough, it gets easier to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the risk of being self-serving, I do want to say, you know, a shout-out to our new elders.
Yes.
Mike Squared,
Mike Squared
is the title. Mike and Mike. So I'm thankful that they're joining Ben and Chris.
You too.
And I think the four of them will collectively do a lot of good for Central.
Yes, I am very excited.
And one of them being my father, Mike. I just want to say I'm very proud of you, and I'm happy that you're in the position. So.
Aww. Alrighty, well, have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.
Until we see you again, God bless you all.
Have a good week.
This
is After Sunday.
Little ASMR for Parker.